I got a live one here. Welcome back, Mediocrity, Episode 5, The Attack of the Clones, right?
Sure, why not?
It can be whatever you want it to be.
It does, it does. We are Mediocrity, the most fun podcast, where we're just, where well, it's not really that fun. It's just, it's okay, right?
It's just a manageable amount of fun.
Mediocre.
We're not here to, like, make your day or anything, just... when you've got nothing better to do.
That's true. We're
some nice middle-of-the-road entertainment.
It is. It's very middle-of-the-road.
It's not the worst thing you could possibly listen to.
There's better uses of your time.
Correct. There is.
But also worse.
But yeah, this is episode 5, guys. This is our 5th week. This is cool. We've done it over a month now.
It's very exciting.
It's very exciting. We've had a few laughs, some tears, even some blood. But we're going to have a good show today. I think we're going to talk today all about Batman and some other things, too. I have to mention, though, Jeremy and Jonathan are wearing blue shirts and drinking out of blue cups, blue water.
It's just regular water.
Oh, okay.
It just looks blue because it's in the blue cup.
And I'm in red shirt. I don't know what's going on here.
It looks very, very patriotic, though. Blue.
Y'all planned this. I know it. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest and the Entertainment Answer on 660 AM. I'm with Jonathan Atterbury, New American Fitness, personal trainer, and all extraordinaire. He loves horror movies. He loves video games. And he loves... He wants to love good food and pizza, but he can't right now. Right?
Yep. Not right now.
Not right now.
That old-fashioned diet fun.
Dang. And you had a really crazy story. You were at the gym today, as you always are at the gym.
Yep.
And what happened? Something happened today to you.
Yeah, it was really messed up. It was really kind of put a damper on my workout. I was working out, and I was really tough and doing all that fun stuff, and then I fucked up my fingernail. And it bled all over the place, and it really hurt.
How'd you do it? How did this
happen? I was just grabbing the dumbbell, and there's a little metal ring on the inside, though, and it just, like, grabbed my fingernail and yanked it back.
And it bled?
And it bled.
Did you scream?
I screamed like a little girl, and I wept. Some of the big powerlifters had to hold me and, you know, rock me back to comfort.
Is your do fingernails grow back?
No, it's not gone.
Oh, okay.
It just got pulled back.
Gosh.
It's one of those that makes you just go,
I'm like cringing right now. Did you take a picture of it at least bleeding?
No, I didn't. I had to keep working out.
Well, there's the termination right there from Jonathan Atterbury.
The synopsis is that John broke a nail.
Yeah, exactly. I broke a nail and it was really traumatizing.
It's like, I'm going to keep working out.
Damn it.
Get my nails done. And then we're also with the amazing, talented comic book artist and writer, Jeremy Maggart.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been going this week?
Good. Yeah,
What's the new news? Give me some news. What's new on the comic front?
Working on issue 2 of Primal Instinct.
Primal Instinct.
Yeah. Got 9 pages in, so.
Yeah? When do we all be done with that second issue?
How many pages are total in this episode?
Well, you know, we were going to do 22 to 24, which is kind of like the, you know, most comic book companies, it's 20 to 24 pages. Our first issue, which we're working on, is being colored, is going to be like 33 pages.
Wow. Bonus size.
That is correct. That is bonus size. And this one is probably actually going to end up, we're probably going to add some extra pages, so this one will probably end up being around 24 to 26 pages.
Wow. So you're just drawing constantly.
Cranking it out.
Nonstop.
Good. Well, we're excited to see that. Maybe we can talk about it, have an interview on Mediocrity. Have a mediocre interview, hopefully.
I think that can be arranged.
Sweet. Well, we'll look forward to that to several weeks from now.
What's new with you, Brian?
What's new with me? Saw some movies. I saw Star Trek and Beyond.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
I am.
Tell me how Star Trek was.
Star Trek Beyond was really, really good.
Really?
I really loved it. So when we're talking about the remakes, there's been 3 of them so far. Well, this third one is coming out this weekend. The first one, the first remake, is my still my favorite, but this third one is a close second.
Ah.
It's so good. It takes place, you know, the crew of the Enterprise has been exploring space for 3 years. So there's like a toll has been taken upon them. Like they're tired. They're just sick of each other. They're just ready to get back to civilization. So there's already this dynamic between everybody. And then things happen and it's just so good.
Shit happens. Aliens come on board. Ships get blown up.
Yes. But it's even better than that. The villain in this movie, played by Idris Elba, is amazing.
He looks very blue.
He's in makeup. But there's a scene in it towards the end of the movie where he gives an Oscar-worthy performance. God, I hope he's nominated. It was that good. But his villain character actually is not just an alien trying to kill them. He has a backstory about it. And it's damn good. And you know how we see like Kirk and Spock in the other movies and the other people, they all split off in a different section. So it's like Spock and Bones in this one. And then like Uhura's off with somebody else and Scotty's off with somebody else. You know, they're not all paired like they were in the previous one.
Is anyone driving a Lamborghini off of a high-rise building into another high-rise building?
No, but there was a spoiler on the USS Enterprise, though, because Justin Lin directed this third one.
They put a spoiler on it.
They did put a spoiler.
Some rims, nice rims on it.
And some underground ground effects lighting of the Enterprise. No, they didn't. He did a really good job. It was filmed really well. And like with the other two films, they put in the amazing Beastie Boys Sabotage music. And they use it in this third movie. And it's the best they've ever used it before. It is so epic.
So Captain Kirk is a Beastie Boys fan.
Yes. There's a really good line in it. And yes, it's really good. I can't wait for y'all to see it.
I'm excited. I'll probably go this weekend.
And then we saw Lights Out.
We did.
A new horror movie. Which, I slept with the lights on.
Did it really scare you that?
It was effective, but again, I agree with you. It had one trick up its sleeve.
Yeah, it was a one-trick pony. I was hoping that I was going to go to bed and be like, I'm going to keep the lights on, but I'm not that much of a pussy.
Sometimes you get scared walking down the hallway in the dark.
It just wasn't that scary. I was hoping it would scare me that much, but I was laying in bed, like, looking around going, am I scared right now? And I was like, nope. It didn't have that lasting effect on me.
I admit, I slept with the lamp on. I had Seinfeld reruns on, so it was like a nice breather from what I just saw. I mean, it was effective, but there were good moments, and there was a couple, you know, in horror movies where there's usually like a lot of dumb characters in it where they just do something you would never do. This movie had some of that, but a lot of it they didn't. Some of it was really smart and like,
yeah,
I would totally do the same thing.
Especially the boyfriend.
The boyfriend, yes, he was the best part of the movie.
He was the best part of the movie. Unfortunately, I just gave it a 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
Yeah, it was just half and half. Very mediocre.
You didn't turn it up to 11.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't rent it again. It was just all right.
It was like the podcast. It's just okay.
Just all right. Yeah, I can't criticize it.
Did you see anything this week?
I watched Batman versus Superman this week.
Awesome, and that's what we're going to talk about. Batman's through the ages. Because, I mean, who started Batman? Was it, I mean, we all know Bob Kane created it, right? Am I wrong with that?
Oh, yeah, it was one of the originals.
But as far as TV goes and film, Adam West was one of the first big Batmans, right? In the TV series.
I think he was the first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
And then that was the old TV shows from, what, the 60s and 70s. And then they moved on to the 1989 movie of Batman, which really was a big summer for everybody. And that's when they introduced Michael Keaton into the Batman role. And then after that, you had Val Kilmer, you had George Clooney, you have Christian Bale, and then you had a lot of the really good voice actors, too, in the animated series. Who was one of the... I know you could probably tell me some of the Batman voices.
Kevin Conroy is the quintessential one, hands down.
Correct. So does he do the animated and the video games?
He does most of it, and, you know, he started with the animated series, and then he's done a ton of video games, like all the big video games he's done, but kind of in the last, like, 5 or 6 years that when they started doing the animated movies, they started, DC does a lot of, like, little releases of, like, very specific stories, and they don't have him do all of them. They've started kind of branching out a little bit, you know, and getting other guys to kind of come in and do Batman, but he's still... he's still the one where when the majority of people read a Batman comic, his voice is the one that they hear when they read the comics.
And I agree. He sounds really good. And then the most recent, as you said, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ben Affleck, Batfleck, as everybody likes to call him. And then I don't even remember who the guy played it. What was that Batman, that Batman short film where he like fought the Joker, aliens, and Predators? Do you remember that short film where Batman?
I don't know who's in that suit.
I'm trying to remember who, but he was really good though.
There's also a dude that does it, the Bat and the Sun guys that do the superhero beatdowns, where they film like the movie of like Batman fighting Deadpool, and then the fans like vote in, or like Batman fighting Darth Vader, and they get a dude that to do Batman there that's pretty good, but I'm not sure who that is either.
All right, so I mean, there's a lot of Batmans over the ages. Some were good, some were bad, some were ridiculous. Let's go back to the first one though. Adam West, the TV show Batman. Everybody liked the original TV show Batman. I don't met a single person that didn't like it for what it was. Yes, it is very cartoony, slapsticky, stupid. But Adam West, like, he was a good Batman. Like, he was fun. He's, you know, in the tights, the gray, the blue.
Good for that Batman.
He was, because times have changed. That would be really corny right now to see that version of Batman. It would probably be nostalgic in the way that it would be fun to see that in, like, a little bit, but you can't do that nowadays. Just, like, I think times have changed, peoples have changed, and, you know, comedy or whatever has changed over the years, I think. So that would not work.
Production value.
Correct. Yes.
The closest you might be able to get away with doing something like that is on a stage.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the only place that would work. You know, some kind of live reproduction.
Musical.
And even then, where you're going to specifically see a recreation of that.
So what do you
like a Batman 66 live action musical?
Yeah, what do you
hopefully
think?
With Adam West? I would pay to see that.
First off, I've interviewed tons of celebrities over my several years of doing this, and the worst person I ever met was Adam West. He was the
just
biggest,
the worst person.
He was the worst human. He was awful, so bad. He just did not care about anybody or anything.
Wow,
it was sad. He just.
I've
told that story before, and it's shocking.
That is shocking. It's like hearing your grandpa's a pedophile.
Yes, it is. Who knows? But what do you think about the Adam West Batman character? What do you think about from the TV show? Does it still hold up? Do you like seeing that from time to time?
I like seeing it. I feel like it's kind of mulling it over, it might have been one of my first introductions to superheroes. Like, I don't know if I saw that before I saw, like, the Spider-Man and his, like, Amazing Friends cartoon. But
also in the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, the Spider-Man one stuck around, you know, mentally for me probably a little more than the Batman did. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, that Batman is their first introduction to superheroes.
Do you think he was, like, stale, like, you know, delivering lines? Because it was kind of like, come on, Robin, let's go get this, you know?
You know, it probably was a little stale, but I kind of feel like that's probably what it was supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah, very much almost like if you were doing a radio play.
Because I guess the comics were kind of like that back then, too. They weren't the bigger stories like they are now.
Yeah.
More in-depth stories. What about you? Have you ever seen John?
Yeah, I tried to see it as little as possible, though.
Why?
Because it's really bad. I don't like it. It was so far beyond my generation. And I've watched episodes, you know, when there's absolutely nothing else on television, when it's TV land or whatever, but it's just not my bag.
You know what, it's like one of those things, like if it's like after midnight, you had a little bit to drink and you just want something on fun or something like that and just something nostalgic and you watch those, I think those are good for that nowadays.
See, I think it's better for the era when it was just television. You didn't have other choices like Netflix or something. It's like you just have to watch what's on TV Land or something like that. Or it's either that. It's either Batman or infomercials.
But you got to.
And it's slightly better than some infomercials.
You got to pay tribute to the old Batman, no matter how awful.
I mean, you can acknowledge that it's a thing, but you don't have to enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I think it's really funny. I think even the guys at like Riff Trax or Mystery Science Theater 3000 would have fun with doing those episodes.
I would watch that.
You would watch that?
I would watch that. It's okay. Funny, yeah.
So let's move on to 1989, Tim Burton's Batman, which brought Mr. Mom Beetlejuice himself, Michael Keaton, to Batman. I love the original film. It doesn't hold up as well as it used to, given the time difference, because 89 to 2016 looked, God, that's a long time. But I will say that Michael Keaton was an excellent Bruce Wayne, and then just an okay Batman. He was great as Bruce Wayne. He was funny. He had, you know, the Michael Keaton tics, you know, of his dialogue and his delivery. Batman, I was stiff and I just didn't feel like he was like the strong guy. He was good as Bruce Wayne. I'm going to go to Jeremy. What do you think? Because this was probably a big movie for you.
Yeah, it was a big movie, and that was kind of like the birth of like the Batmania.
Yes.
Around there, because at that point in time, like, people were having, you know, you go out and there'd be people with dudes with bat symbols like shaved into the side of their head.
There's still people like that now.
Yeah, that was Jeremy. Rocky.
That was Jeremy.
That was not me. That was not me.
But please, Mom.
No, didn't ask for that one. You know, it's that movie actually holds up better for me than the Batman 66 stuff does.
Okay.
You know, I have no problem with him kind of being the stiff Batman, because there's part of me that always feels like Batman kind of is going to be kind of stiff and kind of quiet and foreboding. And, you know, I feel like he did a pretty good job with that. And it's now I feel like any actor that is going to play a live-action Batman, he's going to have a lot of Batman that he's going to have seen and is going to inform him. And Keaton was really the first dude to ever have to do a live-action Batman.
Which is like a darker version.
So far removed even from the 66 Batman stuff, you know.
So when you watch it again, as opposed to back then, you said it still holds up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and you like him as Batman and Bruce Wayne equally, or do you just see Bruce Wayne and you just see a guy in a mask? But I don't know. I
think it holds up equally for me for both of them, for both sides of that.
Okay, all right. And John, what do you think about Michael Keaton Batman?
I love Michael Keaton Batman.
Is he your favorite Batman?
Yeah, I would say overall, he's my favorite.
Why?
I just feel like he had, I would say that he had the best Batman movies, in my opinion.
So Batman.
And Batman Returns.
Batman Returns.
Those, to me, are my favorite Batman movies.
I agree with that.
And
out of all of them.
Yeah, out of all of them. I mean, you know, granted, every one of them, not every one of them, but most of them have their strengths and weaknesses. But this one, I feel like he just had the best balance. I mean, he was not the most physically imposing Batman, but I think that it was good enough,
okay.
especially for, and yeah, he is stiff and everything, but we're taking a guy who is not a superhero, as it were, you know what I mean? He's just a guy. So it makes sense that he might be a little stiff, especially because this is like the birth of Batman's story, right? When we're going into Batman and Batman Returns, it's early Batman, that he's going to be still getting used to his role, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And still learning the kind of character that he wants to portray, literally as Batman, Bruce Wayne being Batman. So that makes sense to me, and that never bothered me. And just the charm of those movies is something that hasn't been replicated in any of the others.
So with those old movies, I never saw the struggle between Bruce Wayne and Batman like I did with Christian Bale and Batman.
Right.
Because I didn't think there was, and I think that's why I like the Christian Bale version better, because there's that struggle, there's that like inner demon of him, of like him wanting to be Bruce Wayne or Batman, or just Batman and not Bruce Wayne.
And those, I think one of the things is that in modern times, like in our current film culture, we really want to explore, especially in the drama type things, that the inner demons within these people. That's yeah. why we've got things like Captain America and Iron Man. Each of these characters is deeply flawed in some way.
Right.
Where they have these things that they have to struggle with. And people like to see the emotional and mental struggle nowadays.
Yeah.
But I feel like in those 80s movies, it's just, especially the Batman things, it's just like, no, just be a superhero. Just don't have demons so much. You know what I mean? It's just they want to show the fun aspect of it. All those 80s movies are more about fun than anything.
Yeah, the question never really even gets asked. It's not as much of, you know, the struggle of being Batman or being Bruce Wayne. He just is both.
Yeah, and it's dark in some ways, but it's also a much lighter movie in other ways than when you get with Batman Begins and the Christian Bale movies.
Okay, so all right, Michael, I mean, I like Michael Keaton. He deserves an Oscar and hasn't gotten one yet, but not for Batman, for Beetlejuice. He needs one.
And Birdman.
He should have gotten that too.
Freaking great.
But then, after Tim Burton left the Batman series, we got a guy named Joel Schumacher. Joel Schumacher directed really one awesome movie, in my opinion, and that was The Lost Boys with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. And then he went on to do Batman 3 and 4. He also, he did an Academy Award winning movie, The Phantom of the Opera, which was, I guess, in the late 90s or so. And he did Phone Booth with Colin Farrell. I mean, he's had some good stuff, but when people did Batman Forever, we'll stop just talk about Batman Forever right now, was such a jump and leap in weirdness to the first two movies, because the first two were really dark. Like, Batman Returns with Danny DeVito as a Penguin was so amazing. Like, there was some dark, scary, and, like, the whole palette of the film looked gray and silver and decaying. And then you have Batman Forever, which was like reds and pinks and greens and oranges and yellows. Yes, very neon-esque. And then you have, what's his name? Top Secret.
Val Kilmer.
Fat Val and the Kilmers. Before Fat Val and the Kilmers.
This was sexy Val Kilmer.
This was sexy Val Kilmer.
Which, to me, I would say Val Kilmer is probably, of all of the Batmans, is probably the weirdest choice.
So, I don't know if this is true, but I read somewhere that the creators of Batman said that Val Kilmer's look was, like, the closest look to the original, like, their picture of Batman. Is that true? I've read that before.
Somewhere.
I don't know if that's true, but yeah, Val Kilmer was...
That's on the Val Kilmer website.
Well, if you don't know who Val Kilmer's
Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Self-created.
So I get why Val Kilmer, because there was a period in the 90s where Val Kilmer was just the number one A star.
He was hot shit. It makes perfect sense that he was
the
cast.
Saint and...
Yeah, he was just in tons of
Tombstone.
Stuff. Yeah,
there you go.
Tombstone. He was in tons of things, and Michael Keaton... Well, Tim Burton didn't want to do it, and they asked Michael Keaton to come back, and Michael Keaton didn't want to do it without Tim Burton, and it just... So they had to find somebody else because they were not going to let this huge franchise for them die out. So they brought on Joel Schumacher and Val Kilmer. And then... But also, if you looked at the original Batman from 1989 and Batman Returns, you really have a hero and a villain. Just two of them. In Batman Forever, you added like three villains and another hero with Robin. Chris O'Donnell, which is just excellent. I love Chris O'Donnell. I mean, Chris O'Donnell just came off of Son of a Woman and then did this.
Yeah.
I mean, I see why they chose him. It's just different. Trivia question. Do you know who they originally cast in the role of Robin
for Batman Forever? I have no idea.
Do you know?
Mm-mm. Corey Feldman?
Marlon Wayans.
Really?
And something happened with schedules and he had to turn it down and they offered it to Chris O'Donnell. But it was Marlon Wayans originally, which would have been really cool.
That would have been cool. I could see that.
But we're talking about Batman. Val Kilmer. It is a weird choice. And this was the bat suit that had the nipples on it and like the close-up shots
was
of the
crotch. Was this the bat nipple? That was Batman and Robin.
Yeah. No, that was Val Kilmer Batman. Look it up.
Okay. Keep talking. I'm going to do some research.
Look it up. Val Kilmer Batman
had the nips.
He definitely had the nips. They may have been more pronounced.
Because they're both Joel Schumacher and they both did it. But Val Kilmer...
I'm going to Google Val Kilmer bat nipples.
Okay, do it. he's just forgettable. Like, was just a forgettable Batman. Like, yeah, he had Nicole Kidman there, and it just...
Okay.
To me, it was just...
I was right?
There are bat nipples. They're just not as pronounced as the Clooney bat nipples.
Okay, there were bat nipples.
His were, like, iced and ready to rock.
Okay. So, Val Kilmer, I think he was a forgettable Batman. What do you think?
I agree. I think it was just a kind of a forgettable Batman movie. I mean, one of the few things that's redeemable for that movie is, I think, you know, Jim Carrey's Riddler is a lot of fun to watch. I mean, the Two-Face could not have been, you know, the idea of Tommy Lee Jones playing Two-Face is awesome, but the Two-Face that they wrote for that movie could not have been more...
Over-the-top silly.
Could not have been farther away from what Two-Face actually is.
Right.
Yeah, so to me, the Jim Carrey Riddler stuff is probably the best thing about that movie.
But what do you think about Val Kilmer and Batman, though?
It's just kind of meh. Yeah, but to me, it's just a meh, you know, kind of movie across the board.
What do you think?
I am split on this movie because this one definitely has the nostalgia factor for me.
Because you're younger.
Yeah, so this came out, what year did it come out, do you know?
92, 93, something.
Maybe even a little later, like 94 or something like that. Maybe. But it came out when I was like 7 or 8-ish, and okay. I saw it in the movie theater for my birthday, you know, with my friends and stuff like that. So I was a really good age for this movie. So it made a good impact on me. I love Jim Carrey as Riddler. But it's not a good movie. It's not. it's a weird movie. It's not by any stretch of the imagination what I would consider a good movie, but I still do like it.
See, I thought, you know, if we're not talking about Batman right now, we're talking about Jim Carrey, because I agree, he was really good in it. But he was also like Jim Carrey. He was like, did the funny faces, the
That's
weird
why it was perfect.
Thing, and like... I didn't think he was as sadistic as he could have been as the Riddler.
Well, the Riddler, it depends.
But it was also a different movie.
This was almost, I imagined Joel Schumacher came in and be like, okay, cool, we're going to take this Tim Burton, yeah, I can remember his name. Tim Burton Batman universe that he's created, and then we're going to add in the Adam West Batman vibe to it.
Yeah, make it bright and make it colorful.
And that's like a perfect mix of those two.
And campy.
Yeah, exactly. And there is so much campiness, and there is a lot of bright color and stuff like that, and this kind of corny vibe between Batman and Robin. So it was this kind of marriage of those two Batman worlds that had already been created.
Yeah, and I think Val Kilmer just... He was just boring and stale through the whole movie.
Not a great.
I think Batman. Robin had better scenes than him in this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Robin was much more of an interesting character. Chris O'Donnell was charming. He had a great smile. He was engaging to watch. Things like that. He was fun in that role.
And I disagree with you both about Jim Carrey. The best things out of Batman Forever was Seal's Kiss from a Rose and U2's
Drew Barrymore, actually. She may have been the best part because she was so hot in that movie.
Who was she?
She was Two-Faces white
girls, dude.
The girl in the white dress.
Oh, God. I don't even remember.
Oh, she was so hot in that role.
She was the good side.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore?
Yeah. You got to rewatch it, man.
It's been a while.
She was like 8-year-old wet dream right there. That's what that was. I think that may have been the first time I ever saw a woman in like lingerie was her there. So.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Man, all right. So let's move on to Batman and Robin, which is easily Jonathan's favorite movie. Batman and Robin is universally hated almost. It has been
for good
said
reason.
To be one long, big gay joke. Batman and Robin. And then you have George Clooney. He was the old George Clooney. He's not older in age then, but he was like... He was doing more movies than he does now. He wasn't doing as many like political dramas.
He was
like,
an A-lister at that time.
He's like A-lister the hot still, shit guy but like, at that he was point. Still just acting and not.
Yeah, he was just the leading male at that point.
Yeah, so they got George Clooney, which was so weird. It's like From Dusk Till Dawn and ER to Batman, and then you add in. It's even more over the top. So like, then you add in Poison Ivy, you add in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze, and like the worst one-liners ever.
Oh God!
And then you add in there was other people. Who was the main chick in that? In that one, in Batman and Robin.
Alicia Silverstone?
Well, she was Batgirl. That was the third superhero they added. There was just so much stuff going on.
The main... Well, it was Poison Ivy, Uma Thurman, and just Mr. Freeze in that one, right?
Yeah, but so in the other... The women for Batman, like Kim Basinger in the original one. And
the
third one.
The Bat Dates.
Yeah, the Bat Dates. So what was the fourth one? I don't even remember.
Was there one?
Yeah, it was
one?
Like a girl that he was dating as Bruce Wayne, but it was more of just... You know,
I don't think it was one or two scenes.
Yeah. I can't remember. It's been a while. And there was Bane in that movie.
Yeah,
which was like
right.
A Muppet looking Bane on a real person with like styrofoam arms.
That was weird.
It was weird. And like, so if you see George Clooney, he is a great actor, but he's not a character actor. It's like George Clooney playing parts. So, like, you have the George Clooney dialogue and delivery. And it's just like, it's like watching Danny Ocean play Batman. It's really weird.
Well, see, to me, I actually was hopeful because I feel like if you think about the character that Bruce Wayne is, and not as much like who he actually is, but how he has to portray himself to the world at large, I think George Clooney is a great person to have be that Bruce Wayne where he's got to pretend to be partying and he's got to be ridiculous and always has to have a ton of women around. I feel like at that point in time, to me, having George Clooney to play that part was, you know, was a good choice. It just ended up, you know, being a terrible movie.
All right, what about you, John?
I agree. I think George Clooney was a really good casting choice for Bruce Wayne. I think he was just given a really bad movie and some god-awful scripting.
Like, imagine George Clooney playing, like, let's say they do an actual Dark Knight Returns live-action movie, and George Clooney's, like, 70 or something like that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, see? It would be totally sellable.
If he, yeah, I guess so. I would...
It was just a really bad movie with terrible writing.
So you think that Batman, that George Clooney Batman, was a victim of just the poor film overall?
Yeah, I think that he could have been a great Batman.
And he totally ended up taking the blame for how terrible that movie was.
Which, he's a good guy. I like George Clooney.
He seems like a nice dude, and he made the bat nipples look good.
Arnold froze them. Mm-hmm. So what were some of Arnold's funny lines in that movie?
Oh, God, I don't remember. I don't... It's so... Such bad stuff. It's just, like, in one ear, right out the other.
Freeze! Or, oh, okay, I can't even remember.
Chill out. I think he said that
over the line. Chill out.
I need you to chill out.
So good. Or so bad. So, we're talking Batman. We've talked about Adam West. We've talked about Michael Keaton. Val Kilmer, before Fat Val and the Kilmers, and which is just a band I made up. And then George Clooney, which brings us to my favorite Batman so far, Christian Bale Batman. Now, a lot of people will give shit to Christian Bale for doing the different voices for Batman and Bruce Wayne, but I think he owned it, and I still love the original Batman Begins, but The Dark Knight is like an Oscar-worthy film in and of itself. Yes, Heath Ledger Joker is really excellent in that, but also Batman Christian Bale is too. And I loved how Christian Bale really took on that role of Bruce Wayne, and he was a believable Batman. Like, I really believed he could beat anybody up. I really loved it. What do you think, Jeremy?
You know, he was a great choice for Batman. I feel like a lot of people kind of crap on the two voices, but I like the separate voices.
Yeah,
I feel like
too.
It helps to sell. If you're going to talk about him being him struggling between being Bruce Wayne and struggling being Batman, I feel like having two different voices, almost like for him, where it's like he's two different people and he can't decide which one he wants to be. I feel like he's he killed it on that stuff.
I did too. What about you?
Oh, I think those are probably the best actual movies for Batman stuff.
Okay,
no
so.
Doubt.
What do you not like about the Christian Bale Batman?
You mean about his Batman movies in general or about him?
About him as a character. About Batman the character.
There's not really any problems that I have so with those, I mean, to me, it's small things like, this goofy stuff like Bruce Wayne is shorter than Alfred. there's small things that, like, when I see that on the screen, I'm just like,
well, Michael Caine's like 7 feet tall.
You couldn't get this guy some lifts. I mean,
it would have looked weird. Michael Caine's really tall, though.
I know, but still, it's like, like the whole thing of, Bruce Wayne and Batman is that, he is physically imposing,
Okay.
And there's never like, there's never a moment where you just look at him outside of, I think, a couple scenes when he's maybe like with Crane, with the Scarecrow, where he looks, physically bigger. But, I mean, they never really nailed that to me in any of the movies because they had plenty of scenes with Bane, and they never had one moment where you saw Bane standing next to someone and he looks bigger. They had, like, the upshot of, like, Bane's back, but there's never anything in the shot to where it's like, here's a small person next to him.
Right.
So you don't have that moment where you're like, holy shit, he is big. Like, he just looks buff, but he doesn't look bigger.
Well, it's because Tom Hardy isn't that tall. They couldn't
really
do that.
But they still can do that because it's the same thing. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is nowhere near as tall as any of the other Avengers. He is way shorter than everyone, but every time you see them, he is equal height with both Captain America, and I think Thor is a little taller.
And I think they actually did the same thing with Frodo in the Lord of the Rings movies, because I don't think that guy is nearly that tall.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Elijah Wood is way short. They definitely made him bigger for that movie.
Aha! Is there anything you didn't like about Christian Bale?
No, I mean, the only thing that struck me as strange about those movies is, especially the first one, is Batman just seemed a little too young for what, in my mind, Batman is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I know that they're going with his whole storyline being the very beginning and all that stuff, but I don't know. It just struck me as he was too much of an adolescent in that role.
Okay.
For, especially for the first one. It kind of lost that as you went to the other movies, but...
All, right.
All in all, I think they were great movies.
So, okay. All right. Yeah, I liked them too. Especially, I loved Dark Knight Rises. I loved him that he was like away from it. He was just done with it, and then he had to come back because of Bane, and he wanted to give it up. No, you didn't like
that
it?
That movie powered me down so hard.
You didn't like it?
There were so many just... The first two movies I felt like were kind of like crime police movies that had a dude running around in a bat suit, and then all of a sudden the third one was a superhero movie. And you had all this stuff where there were just a lot of things like where, you know, I mean, the one thing that's always constant in all the Batman stories is Bruce's relationship with Alfred. And then the second he finds out, you know, that Alfred, you know, burned the letter, he's like, I don't want to, you go away. You know, it's like that stuff.
But I think that was an emotional scene for, I got choked up during that scene.
I think they would have argued about it, and, you know, he would have gone off and then, you know, whooped some bad guys and then come back and been fine. And then also...
Rub one out, you know?
I mean, really, that's what he would have done.
And so, literally.
So think about, same thing about this. So he loses his parents, and it traumatizes him so hard, he becomes this figure and this vigilante, right?
Uh-huh.
His girlfriend dies, and what does he do?
What do you think he stops?
Yeah, he totally stopped. He went and hid in his mansion and grew a beard and limped around on his cane.
But it seemed like he was still.
And people would bring food and he would not, you know. And he would not show up to his own parties.
But what a dick.
But like what I'm saying, like why would if your parents murdered to drive you to that extreme, why would he stop?
Well, because I think the reason because of that was that he was responsible. He felt responsible for his girlfriend and not his parents, because the Joker played the trick on him, telling, because he was going to save his girlfriend, he ended up saving Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was upset about that, so he feels responsible for his girlfriend's death. That's probably why.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand why. I'm just saying it doesn't fit with all of the other Batman stuff.
Okay.
I feel it's inconsistent. You know, and then to mix in, to put Cat, and I feel like Catwoman and Bane fit the best, right, in that world, but I feel like all the Catwoman, like, dialogue was, like, straight, almost like, you know, original, like, 66 Catwoman dialogue.
Ooh, and she had a lot of one-liners.
And
like,
it was one-liners, and I feel like one-liners don't fit in, to me, don't fit super well into that world. And then when you take Bane is supposed to be this, like, you know, in the comics, he's a criminal genius. He's like the dude that stopped the Bruce Wayne Batman and broke his back and shut him down. You know, but what's hilarious is in your Batman and Robin movie, Bane is just
sidekick.
Is a sidekick, is a puppet of Poison Ivy.
Right.
And really, in this movie, he's just a sidekick and a puppet of Talia, or what's her face.
Yeah, of Talia. But however, Bane always had the upper hand on Batman, and Batman could never still beat him. It was Catwoman that actually beat Bane in Dark Knight Rises. Wasn't it? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know about that.
Well, so Batman was... Batman was beating up, but Catwoman shot Bane with, like, the motorcycle gun, right? I'm pretty sure that happened.
I don't remember that. I don't remember a motorcycle gun.
That's what happened. We're gonna find out. We're gonna post it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what happened, but I always thought Bane had the upper hand on Batman, of Christian Bale's Batman. And like I said, I love Christian Bale's Batman more than all the others. Yes, Michael Keaton holds a special place in my heart because it's Michael Keaton, and I like seeing him on screen, and I like him as Batman because... the scene that always comes back to me is when he's trying to tell Kim Basinger that he's Batman, and she leaves. And he's like whispering, "I'm Batman." Like he's rehearsing to tell her. It's just really funny because that's like one of the big key things in all. He's like, "I'm Batman,"
yeah.
But he did it so, you know, funny. He's just like, "I'm Batman. I'm rehearsing. I gotta tell her." That's before the Joker came and got what's his name. Rolling Stones ex-wife Jerry Hall.
Yeah,
but and then so. There's those Batmans,
mm-hmm.
And before we get into the new one, what about Kevin Conroy? Do you think he would ever play a live-action Batman well, or do you just think his voice is just like the quintessential that voice.
I'm sure he could.
Yeah?
What is he even? I don't even know what Kevin Conroy looks like.
He is old.
Yeah, he's an older guy. But, I mean, he could play an older Batman, but his voice is just so
good. Does he do any, like in-person acting, or is he just a voice actor? Because those are two very different things.
I think he's mostly voice acting, Kevin Conroy.
Chances are he'd probably be really terrible on camera then.
You never know. Some voice
You never know, really but good. I think, I don't know.
Are you showing him a picture?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Okay. And then after these, oh, there you go. You can see him now.
Yeah, I don't think he would fit as like a Batman at all.
No?
No!
Look up Kevin Conroy and let us know what you think if he could play a Batman, I mean, in live action, but his voice is
excellent. No. He looks like he could be Alfred.
Okay. But his voice, though, if you ever, any of the video games or any of the animated series, you would probably hear his voice, and he's really good at it. And then that brings us to Batman v Superman, which came out recently, Dawn of Justice, and you have Batman, or you have, yes, you have Batman, you have Batfleck, you have Ben Affleck playing Batman, and I gotta say, out of Batman v Superman, both the theatrical cut and the extended cut, Batman was the best part of that movie. Ben Affleck owned the role. I loved it. Despite all of the horrible things that happened in the movie that I did not like, Batman was like the key, like, constant in that. What do you think, Jeremy? Because I know you just watched it for the first time. So I want to know your Batman v Superman sort of review and what you thought, because I know you're a big Batman fan. What do you think about Affleck?
I actually really liked Affleck. I felt like he did a great job in the costume. He did a great job as Bruce Wayne. I liked the moments where he would go instantaneously from, you know, being serious. Like the moment when he's planting the hacking device on Lex's server.
Yeah.
You know, he goes from, you know, being subterfuge and being serious to all of a sudden pretending to be drunk and, you know,
right,
being a little humorous and being silly. I feel like, you know, when he kind of like pivots on those, it always comes across very well.
Do you like, he was an older Batman too, and he played the part. So what, I mean, overall, like quickly, without giving too much spoilers from your friend over here who hasn't seen it yet.
Yep.
What did you think about the movie as a whole?
Overall, I feel like it gets a little more shit than it deserves.
Really?
Yep.
So you like it a little better.
I was actually pleasantly surprised by a lot of the movie. I felt like my biggest complaints of the movie were, where you have The Hobbit, which could have been one movie that was made into three movies. I felt like this was three movies crammed into one movie.
Okay. All right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it? 10 being amazing and perfect, 1 being...
I'd give it a 3.
I'd give it a 6.
Okay. A 3 and a 6. Big difference there.
So there's a little... Yeah, that is a very big difference. I'm glad you liked it. I felt like you found stuff with it. There were just so many things I didn't like. And we're not going to discuss them on this podcast, because maybe we'll do like a Batman v Superman whole discussion once our good friend Jonathan finally plays catch up into the century.
I'm watching it tomorrow night. I'm ready.
He'll live tweet it.
I will, actually.
Oh, sweet.
I will actually do that.
Okay, he's going to live tweet it. What is your Twitter address so everybody can follow?
I'll just do it on the Mediocrity.
On the Mediocrity. Yeah. Okay, final. What's our
Media underscore Ocrity.
Okay, that's, he's going to live tweet it on that. We'll post it so you'll know. He'll live tweet Batman v Superman. I'm so excited for this.
So all four of our Twitter followers can hear it.
It'll be good. So we'll go around the table, starting with you, John, again. Recap. Best Batman, worst Batman.
Best Batman, I will give to Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Worst, I will give to Val Kilmer.
Okay. All right. Jeremy.
Oh, man. See, I need a little more. I need a little more Batfleck, I feel like, for me to actually make this decision, because until I get a little more, I'm probably still going to go with Keaton.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like the Batfleck's got so much potential.
Okay. And worst?
And worst, yeah, I still gotta probably gotta go with Kilmer.
Wow. See, I'm but going. I was gonna say,
the Batfleck excites me, because the thing I like about it is we finally have somebody playing Batman that loves Batman. It's the first time. It's like you've got a guy that read Batman comics and his whole life just wanted to play Batman. And now he's playing Batman.
That is a great point you bring up, because everybody else who's played Batman didn't read the comics, maybe, unless until they got the role, they read a couple things. Mm. They never were really into comics. They were never really into Batman.
That passion translates, just like Ryan Reynolds with Deadpool.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. And you know what? I had a writer interview Tom Welling, who played Superman in Smallville. And they asked him, did you read the comics? Did you do this? And he was like, absolutely not. You know, I did not read any of it. It didn't interest me. This was a job. And I think that, you know, I get that aspect of it, but that also sucks for us people who love it.
Right.
And, you know, you have Ben Affleck, who's a huge comic advocate and huge comic book fan. He loves Daredevil, and he got to play Daredevil. He wrote forwards and comics. And then he's always been a big Batman fan, and he got to play Batman, and he nailed it, too.
I like that. He seems to be the most physically imposing of the Batman so far. I like that.
And he, who?
Batfleck.
Batfleck. So he's an older one, too. He is an older guy that plays just like the Frank Miller comic, The Dark Knight. So it's... I'm glad you brought that up.
And to me, that was one of the best things about that movie, is I just feel like when I watch Henry Cavill and I watch, you know... Watch the Superman, like, all three of them just look like they're having an insane amount of fun playing those characters. And I feel like that's one of the biggest redeeming things for that movie.
I agree with that.
Best and worst for you, for Batman.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Christian Bale, best. Adam West, worst.
Okay.
I'm biased.
Yeah, he got to pay tribute to it, but fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. The hell with that guy. He's done.
Everyone here has to pay tribute but me.
You need to tell us exactly what Adam West did to you, because I feel like there's a backstory.
I'll show you where he touched me. No, I'm just kidding.
Show us on the doll.
We're on the doll.
So I was at a comic book convention. It was in Kansas City. This is when I made a comic book convention documentary back in 2003, before really comic book conventions were really like starting to come up and be really the giants they are now. And so I was filming, it was called Nerds Gone Wild. And we filmed cosplayers, we filmed celebrities, interviews, all the whole thing. And one of them was Adam West. And when we were like doing like B-roll shoot or something like that, we would just kind of like, you know, watch Adam West, because, you know, he was a big get and he's the original Batman. We were real excited. And he would just sit at his table when people would come up and want autographs and to talk. He would not look up at anybody. He would just sign and say, thanks for coming.
Ooh, that's sign, brutal.
He would not shake anybody's hand. An asshole. Holy God. And like, I went to pretty much almost all the Wizard Worlds across the country that year. He was the worst. Everybody else was super friendly, just glad to be there. Adam West wasn't. He was horrible to his fans. He didn't want any part of it, which was weird because the Family Guy thing was sort of taken off then.
Right.
And he was Mayor West and Family Guy. And I just thought that was the absolute worst thing you could do to somebody who's paid to get in, for your autograph, and not give them the time of day.
That makes a big impact, too. I remember when I went and saw Van Morrison in concert, it was the same thing. Literally, the guy, he came out with the sunglasses and the hat on and did not look at the audience, didn't say hi, didn't say thank you, didn't even acknowledge that there was an audience out there. I mean, the guy could have been doing a band rehearsal, and he probably would have talked more in band rehearsal.
Yeah.
And it had the same impact on me, where he just, like, as soon as he was done, he just walked off the stage. Just absolutely no interaction with the crowd, and that was bullshit.
Yeah, it's awful to see that. So that's what he did, and never forgot that. And like, to the opposite of that, the best person I ever met was Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings, Samwise Gamgee, the Goonies, you know, all that. The nicest guy. He took his time out to talk to you and get to know you, look you in the eye, spend a few minutes with everybody.
He does seem like a genuinely nice dude.
And I remember one thing where there was like a 5 or 6 year old girl who wanted a picture but didn't have time to do it. He jumped over his table that he was at, got her, and like, let's get a picture. Like, stopped everything. I mean, that's what you do for your fans.
Yeah.
They're paying to see you.
That's
they
awesome.
Look up to you. Adam West.
Just ride that wave. I always get pissed when I see celebrities that are pissed for being a celebrity. I'm like, you lucky motherfucker. Like, I'm sorry, it sucks that you have adoring fans and tons of money. You know what I mean? That must be really hard for you.
Hard knocks life.
I mean, there's an aspect to the fame where, at least nowadays, where it's sucks with all the TMZ and all the reporters.
If you're one of those celebrities, I get it. If you're Britney Spears or whatever.
If you're Lou Ferrigno or Adam West, what's the deal?
Just love it, man. Just go with
it. And I'll tell you one thing. It's weird. Out of all the interviews I've done with everybody, the people who are like the worst, like divas, are people who are not popular yet. Like the really popular ones or like the really good ones that have been around a long time, real famous, they're all fairly, really good people.
Yeah.
The ones that are just like up and coming, had their first big movie, terrible.
Lou Ferrigno was cool.
Lou Ferrigno was awesome.
The Ferrigs was great.
Yeah,
he was great. I'm not saying that he was bad. No, he's actually really awesome. Lou Ferrigno, because he's touring with all the comic book conventions still.
He's a really cool guy.
Our good friend Andrew Kolokig and his like young son Harrison, he got to arm wrestle
him in the picture.
And
Lou Ferrigno lost to him. What a guy. Yes. What a nice guy.
Yeah. No, he takes his time. I think my birthday was at one of the conventions and I told Lou Ferrigno and I share a birthday and I told him and he like perked up and he was like, oh my God, we got to get you some girls. Hey, he used to start telling girls walking by, hey, it's his birthday. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
I think it was at the same con that Jeremy and I got our picture taken with Peter Mayhew, too.
Right.
Peter Mayhew was also fantastically nice.
And he's a Dallas native.
Who loves Dr. Pepper.
He heard from Dr. Pepper.
And he will be at the Dallas Comic Book Show August 6th and 7th.
Oh, good.
So if you would like to get a new picture of the two of us,
I think we need to bring him more Dublin Dr. Pepper.
Well, they don't make Dublin Dr. Pepper anymore,
we will get the closest thing we can find.
Yes.
I've never seen someone make that bottle look so tiny in their big hands. It was like he was holding like a Barbie doll sized one. And that's the thing is we just brought him a soda and he was like, he loved it. He let us take a picture with them just because we brought a soda.
We will have to do a whole Comic-Con show next week or something like that because I have stories of... I'll tell my amazing story of the former pro wrestler Virgil from a comic book convention. Y'all probably were there when that story happened, but we would be on that next week. Quickly, we're wrapping this up. We're almost out of time of Mediocrity Episode 5, The Attack of the Clones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't know what's going on. Mediocre. What? Anybody have anything to talk about for a couple minutes? Anything? Music, movie-wise? What have you been watching? What did you see?
Well, what did we have? What did we say we were going to talk about today? This is why the show is not that great.
We left off. We were going to talk about aliens.
Aliens. Oh, yeah. Okay, so
we totally left that out. And then we're going to talk Stranger Things.
Okay.
So we mentioned Stranger
Things. Our bat boner pretty much reigns supreme today.
We got totally distracted by the bat nipples.
Yeah, the bat nipples and Batman just took us out of it. We've been talking like 45 minutes about it. But look, okay, first, let's talk about aliens. Aliens, this is like the... What anniversary is this?
I have no idea.
Okay,
30th, so... Something like that?
It's 30th, 35th,
so you talk about aliens, not the first
Correct,
one.
The second one.
So this was 87, I think. I think it was 87. And this was not the Ridley Scott one. This was the...
The one with Bill Paxton.
Yeah, it was Bill Paxton, but who? James Cameron.
Right.
Yeah, it was like his good movie. I want to say it was 1987. I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, if it's the 30th anniversary, it's probably not 1987.
Might be off by a year.
I'm ahead of year. I'm sorry.
You son of a bitch.
1986.
Ruining the show.
So the first Alien really was like very... It was very horrifying. It was really scary. You had one alien and a whole crew. You didn't know what was going on. It was really suspenseful. The second one, James Cameron really just added 1,000 more aliens to it. It made it a really fun action.
Dialed it up to 11.
Yes, he did. You've got the amazing Bill Paxton character. You've got...
We're all going to die, man.
Game over,
game
man.
Over.
Game over. What do y'all think about the aliens? Does it still hold up, the second one?
Absolutely. I love that movie.
Why do you love it?
It still holds up perfectly. I mean, it's got great action. It's got fun. You laugh. It's like watching Terminator 2 or something like that. You know what I mean? It's just kind of a well-rounded film that's
James
still
Cameron.
Fun to watch.
All right. When was the last time you saw Aliens?
It's been a little while, but I feel like when you do a movie where, you know, movies, I feel like they can hold up better when... It's in outer space. It's a contained environment. There's no cars. There's, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like when you watch Running Man and you know, it's like, it's in the future, but it still looks just like the 80s, you know.
Just more spandex.
Yeah, it's just more 80s-ish, you know. It's like, so I feel like it holds up better, you know, because it doesn't have anything from that time period
right.
kind of show up in it. It's like... it's kind of like why Indiana Jones movies hold up, because it's just, you know,
very stylized.
Very stylized, and it's very consistent, so it holds up.
Yeah, the effects were really good, because they had all the effects on the distant planet and all the big machinery, which you've seen in all James Cameron movies. And then you have, I mean, it brought the kid aspect to it, Newt.
Right.
That kid could relate to and be really scared of when she gets lost.
Yep.
And
they brought in the alien suit, or the suit that she fights Ripley.
Yeah,
fights
the big yellow, with, the yellow,
which is amazing.
That was a great scene. And then you have the really good robot, the android.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember his name. Why? It's Lance Hendrickson, right?
Yeah.
It's Data.
Yeah, it's Data.
It's a Star Trek.
It's Data or C-3PO, alien, or something like that.
Bishop.
Robots. Bishop.
Bishop.
Yeah.
Bishop. But yeah, no, I like that one. I still prefer the first one. I like the third one, David Fincher's one. But
I like the third one, too.
The second one, there's just something about the second one that it has a Sigourney Weaver mom role in it, you know, and it has... I think it's a scarier because they're in those tight quarters like they were on the first ship, but they're on, like, there's just so many more aliens out there for them to kill. And it really was like there's machine guns everywhere.
Just explosions and bullets flying and Bill Paxton. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, so they are re-releasing, I think, in the next few months or so, another Alien quadrilogy anniversary set. So
okay.
I'm going to have to rebuy this for the fourth time.
Yeah, I've got mine up there, the Blu-ray version.
Yeah, the quadrilogy.
Clearly, I need another one.
Yeah, and they'll probably re-release them again when, like, the new Prometheus or Alien movie comes out. Is this crazy? And then there's a new Netflix show called Stranger Things, which I have not seen yet.
Dropping the ball.
These two gentlemen have, and supposedly it's like 1983, Goonies, E.T., Monsters.
Stand By Me,
Come Together.
Meets X-Files.
There you go.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I'm on episode 9, or I think I've got episode 7, so I have one episode left before I finish the series. But it's so good. I love it.
My goal is this weekend, besides the wrestling pay-per-view, I'm going to watch Stranger Things.
I can't wait to hear what you think about it.
I think I'm going to shoot nostalgia all over my keyboard. I really
I'm
am.
Sure you will.
And you love it, right?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Normally a lot of like the kind of kid-focused stuff like that, I tend to kind of tune out after a while, but this was really good. All the, you know, all the kid actors are fantastic. You never, you know... There wasn't a single moment where I didn't buy any of it.
Right, and it's just well delivered. The writing's good. It's funny. It's scary at moments, and it's just it has a really cool look to the whole thing. And the music's amazing.
Yeah, the premise and the way they explain things. You know, it's like you get your little bit of sci-fi movie, you know, science, and the way they explain it, it holds up through the movie. And
this may actually be Winona Ryder's best acting job ever, too.
Besides Heather's? Or?
I'm talking best job of acting.
Okay.
I think that, you know, she certainly was charming and has her, you know, her roles that she played and was unique in those roles. But this is the first time where I've actually been like, oh, I believed what she was trying to sell as an actress.
Okay. So. Wow. And then she came off of Black Swan. She was really good in Black Swan. So I want to see this. So tell us what your favorite Batman is on our Facebook and our Twitter. Tell us what if you've seen Stranger Things, and let us know your favorite Alien movie.
And don't forget to tune into my live tweeting of Batman v Superman
tomorrow night.
I guess it'll be the day that this show airs, actually. And I'll let you guys know on Twitter exactly what time it'll be. And the Twitter handle is media_Ocrity.
Fantastic. I cannot wait to watch this. I'm gonna have my alerts on for you. As we all are. That wraps up our Mediocrity episode 5. We'll be back next week with some comic stuff. And
with episode 6?
Episode 6.
The Empire Strikes Back.
The Phantom Menace.
Phantom Jedi.
The Phantom Jedi. All right, well, follow us. We had a good time with y'all. Let us know.